Your Bible's Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and I want to read the first 8 verses. I kind of got stuck on a theme here, and this just seemed to be the natural progression of it. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm gonna stop right there for now. These are the last recorded words of Jesus Christ on this earth, at least till he speaks to Saul of Tarsus a little later on. But this was the last recorded words that he spoke to the disciples while he was still on this earth. And I think they're important. Matter of fact, I know they're important. But that's just me. It's an individual thing. Yesterday we stopped by Kroger's on the way home. And while Debbie was looking at stuff, I went over to the magazine rack and the book rack. And there is a magazine size booklet put out, I forget by who, but it's some religious society. And it talks about the life and death of Christ. And it says, rediscovering the importance of his life, his death, and his resurrection. I wanted to know who forgot. Because if you have ever, ever discovered the importance of his life, his death, and his resurrection, you ain't going to forget it. And the world has never known it, and they're not going to rediscover it. But it was a pretty book. It had lots of pretty pictures in it. Paintings and drawings of Wild Bill Hickok and whoever else is in there, you know. Buffalo Bill Cody or whoever the long-haired guy with the beard is. I don't know. These are his last words to his disciples on this planet before he was taken away. Before he went away. Excuse me. He had spoken to his disciples of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God for the last 40 days. Those things we really don't have recorded. Not by voice, or written down. Now we might get some of them in the epistles later on, but this is what Luke decided to record. The last words he spoke to his disciples on this earth. He commands them not to depart Jerusalem. A lot of people have problems taking orders. I'll tell you something, though. If you've got a Lord, you won't have any problems with taking his orders.
Amen.
You might not fulfill them to the way you're supposed to. You might not do what you're supposed to. But I don't have any problems with him telling me what to do.
Yeah. Right.
It's his right.
Amen.
It's his duty. It's his prerogative. And I trust that whatever he says is right. So I like how he started off. Jesus commanded them not to depart. Didn't ask them. Didn't request it. He's the Lord of lords and he's the King of kings. Ergo, it is okay for him to be the Lord to give commands. Then after that, the first thing he tells them, wait. Wait. I'm not very good at waiting. I don't know about anybody else. Oh, well, I do know a little bit about Walter's impatience. I've seen that at times.
No.
He's seen some of mine too, so I don't say anything too much about it. We are not very good at waiting. Not very good at all. But he commanded them to stay at Jerusalem and wait. I still remember Henry Mahan's sermon talking about Moses parting the Red Sea. And he said, Moses spoke out and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear ye not, stand still. And Henry Mahan said this, and I agree wholeheartedly with him. He said, you know there was somebody at the back who's going to say, you know, there's one thing we shouldn't do is stand still. Let's get out of here. That's the way we are. But God's going to do what God's going to do. Christ is going to do what Christ is going to do. And the Holy Ghost is going to do what the Holy Ghost is going to do when it's good and ready to. When they're good and ready to do it, when it is the appointed time. And we just make the best of it or the worst of it, as is our nature, or as is the blessing. You can have patience, but it takes a little tribulation to get it. Most people don't want the tribulation to get to it. But it doesn't do you any good to get in a hurry on God, because God's never in a hurry. He's always on time. Wait. Or the old saying, patience is a virtue. That's why we don't have very much of it. That's the last part I added. But he told them to wait. And he said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. This was a fact. This was a promise from the Father. This was spoken to them by Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord of glory. You shall. No asking, no requesting, no begging, no participation needed, no assembly required. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I looked at this, and I got a new computer program, because I had the online Bible messed up on me. I couldn't get John Gill's commentary. It disappeared off of the site. The only commentary I ever liked on that site. And when I loaded it onto a new computer, I could not get John Gill's commentary on it. So I got rid of it, and I got another one that does have John Gill's commentary, because I like what he says. Anyway, you can click a little button there, and right beside it says KJV plus. And right beside it comes up Strong's Concordance numbers for that word. And you roll your little cursor over it, And up comes Strong's definition for that word. I like that. Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard a bunch of people talk about being baptized by the Holy Ghost. These are the words of Christ, and he said, you're going to be, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I looked at that word. Even though they were baptized by the Holy Spirit, but he said, with. And the word translated with in this statement, where is it here? I wrote it down or typed it up, actually. It says it is a primary preposition which denotes position, instrumentality, and is a relation of rest.
Yeah.
That's a good preposition. It's two letters. I think Greek letter E-N. That's how they had it written out. Christ told his disciples they would be baptized, and this is the definition of it. It says, by all means, throughout the Holy Ghost. I like that. Believers are not baptized by, they are baptized with the Holy Ghost. And Christ here was repeating a promise he had already made. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. The disciples shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of truth will dwell in them. That's what he told them back in John 14, verse 17. Shall be in them. Now, the Spirit of truth dwells, it lives, abides in every born-again believer. The Holy Spirit brings life to the unregenerate, chosen child of God, because the Holy Ghost is life. John the Baptist spoke of this, recorded in Mark 1, verse 8. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Same word. I looked. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's Acts 11:16, where he's remembering this. Romans 8:11 puts it this way, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Believers now are baptized with the Holy Ghost into one body. They have been made to drink into one Spirit. They've been quickened, made alive by his Spirit that now dwells in them, which is what he was promising his disciples right here as he was leaving. That's what it means to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You don't pray him in. You don't work him up. Whether bond or free, Jew or Gentile, believers have been made to drink into one Spirit. Because he dwells in us. He dwells in believers, the children of God that he has regenerated and given life. Now, we had to be made to drink too. That was 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. Made to drink. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Where's the cooperation from you in that statement? It's not there. You're not going to find it anywhere in the scripture. You'll find it everywhere in pulpits. All around us. Everywhere in the world, you'll find all kinds of cooperation needed. Christ didn't need anybody's cooperation. Christ never asked for anybody's cooperation.
Amen.
He did give some commandments. Stay here in Jerusalem, and you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. We have to be made to drink. Into this one spirit. We have to be made. Now this is because Walter talked about it. No man can come unto him unless the Father which sent me draw him.
Amen.
No man. That's in John 6, and he said it twice there. And after the second time he said it, a bunch of people left him. I told this story before. I was in a service where a guy was going to speak on John 6:66. He said he was going to speak on John. He was going to speak on 666, and he showed up, and his verse was John chapter 6, verse 66, where it says, "And from that time, many of his disciples walked no more with him." And he spent the whole sermon, 45 minutes or so, talking about people who walk away from Christ. People do. And people do. In a manner of speaking. But he spent that whole time talking about how you shouldn't do it and how you should love the Lord and how you shouldn't go away. And he never spoke one time, said one word about why those people left. And that's the whole point of that sermon, or that story that is in the book, that account, that truth. They went because he said, God says who he will, when he will, where he will, and you ain't got nothing to do with it. And that's the same reason people will leave today. I can't preach that. It'll split the church. Yes, it will. What's your point? Come on, give me the downside. Sometimes a split in a church is the best thing ever happened. I mean, unless it's over sprinkling babies or something, you know. But a split over the truth. All things work together for good to them that love God. Even a church split. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. That verse will split a church too, Mason. If you preach it right. That verse will split a church. Help yourself. We have to be made to drink into one spirit. Now it may sound like bragging or boasting to say that we have the Spirit of God within us, but we had nothing to do with it. I was an innocent bystander. Well, okay, no, I wasn't innocent. I was a dead alien sinner. I had nothing to do with it. Wasn't looking for it, didn't want it. After I got it, I wasn't sure what I had, but I didn't like it. Not at first. A lot of people leave out that part about the Holy Ghost making you miserable. Except Paul, where he talks about we haven't received again the spirit of fear unto bondage. And that's a real fear. It's also the beginning of wisdom. Is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord comes from the Lord. I had nothing to do with it. You had nothing to do with it. Because this is what happens to unregenerate, dead, alien sinners who were chosen by God in Christ before the foundation of the world. When it's their time, when it was my time, when it was your time, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And you'll like it eventually. He made me to drink of one spirit. Yeah. Into one spirit. Otherwise, I wouldn't have. And that's just the truth. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I wouldn't have. The next statement here. After that, they asked him some questions. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? I love his answer to this. Jesus Christ said, it's none of your business. That's what it says. Now you can read it. It sounds better in the Bible. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put into his own power. It is not for you to know. It's none of your business. I'm here telling you things, and you're asking me stuff about you don't need to know. That's the way we are. Fellow preaches a whole sermon on people leaving Christ and forgets to tell them why. That's the way we are. And I like that fellow. But he was worried about splitting his church, Walter. You know him. That's what he was worried about. We will ask the dumbest questions. And I tell you, they asked this question, because they're Jews. This was near and dear to their heart. Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he says, it's not for you to know. It's none of your business. It's God's business. Yeah. It's God's timetable. It's going to happen. Walter's been talking about it. It's not recorded how well they took that answer. Because it doesn't really matter how they took the answer. You can be mad about it, you can be sad about it, you can be glad about it, but that was Christ's answer. Nobody knows. And it's not for you to know when. When. Now he does tell us later, and the apostles tell us later, what is going to happen. And Walter's been talking about it for a while. Come on, man. Walter's been talking about it for a while. Even the order if things are going to happen in. But as far as when it's going to happen, that's still none of our business. Right. The disciples weren't asking what. They thought they knew. They were asking when.
Right, at this time.
At this time. Are you going to do it now? We know what? We're going to be restored. The answer to that question was, and still is, none of your business. The only answer I have to that question comes from Christ's answer before. It's going to happen when you think not. That's it. So if you're thinking it's going to happen, that ain't it. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. That's Matthew 24 and verse 44. Luke 12:40 says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. That's when he's coming. When you think he ain't coming, he'll be here. That's as close as we can get. Because this is in the Father's power. That's what Christ told him. This is in the Father's knowledge, and it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. And general, just for the record, anybody who says they know the time or the season is a liar. They've been proved wrong time and time again.
Yeah.
That last bunch out in, was it St. Louis or somewhere? The guy was getting all the money from people, and then the end of the world didn't come. Well, it's later. I prayed and God repented. I don't know what he said. I don't care what he said because the man's a liar. Oh, doofus Jack Van Impe. I'm sorry. That's, you know, Lord's coming back. This, blah, blah, blah. He's lying. He's dead now and he knows better. Or not. This is the Father's knowledge, Christ said. It's not for us to know when he's coming. It's up to us to be ready for him to come.
Yeah.
And look. Didn't say he'd see it. Didn't say he'd see it. But it says look for his coming. Look to his coming. Desire his coming. Want his coming. I can do that. That I can do. All we can say right now is the time's closer than it used to be. That's it. I'm just actually going to stop right here and I'll pick this back up next week. I do have one thing here, talking about the world, that I was going to share with you, so I'll go ahead and do that. There is a newspaper that comes out once a week. And it's a real newspaper, but it's got fake news stories in it. It's called The Onion. I don't know if y'all are familiar with it. I'm not a big follower of it, but when I see one, because Jason, my son, gets it every now and then down in Texas, I'll read it. Well, they run a story in the newspaper, and was about a study, supposedly. Now, this is all fake. And it's in a fake newspaper. A study released by the California Parenting Institute Tuesday shows that every style of parenting inevitably causes children to grow up into profoundly unhappy results, adults. Doesn't matter what your parenting style is, your kids are going to grow up to be unhappy adults. This caused a bit of a flurry because there were people, this was written in The Onion. Okay, it's a fake newspaper, but it got out, and people were calling the California Institute of Parenting, wanting to know if this was real. And you know why? Because most children grow up to be profoundly unhappy adults. And most parents are profoundly unhappy adults. They got emails, phone calls from concerned residents. They even had people who worked there wanting to know, when did we do a study? I missed it. Because I bet you they had some stories to tell them. That is the state of man today. That's the state of man. You run a fake news story about unhappy adults being raised by unhappy parents. No matter whether, you know, it said no matter whether if you're liberal, they grow up to resent you. If you're too conservative, they grow up to rebel against you. Yes, they do. There you go. The fake newspaper reported the truth. Because it reported the condition of man. But they don't know the condition of man is in this book. And I'll look at Deb every now and then and I'll tell her, you know, I said that. Somebody will say something on TV. Somebody will write something in a newspaper, even a fake newspaper. And I'll look at her and say, that's truer than they know. Because it is. Jesus Christ promised Holy Ghost to his disciples. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And things changed. It changes for individuals. Mm-hmm. For the ones Jesus Christ talks to. the ones he calls by name, each and every individual, shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost shall indwell them. And, you know, like I said at first, it may seem like things get bad or get worse, but things are a whole lot better. And you finally come to realize that after a little while. Because you have in you the truth of Jesus Christ. It's a gift. We have in us, if you are one of His, so much more than the world will ever have. And it is a blessing. And I'm not boasting because it was a gift.
Yeah.
It was given to me. And I thank God for it.
Amen. Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this day, this time. Lord, help us to understand Your word, Your will, and Your way as we go forth in this world which does not know You, doesn't want to know You, and cannot know You. We need Your blessings every day. And we have them in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.